public session for the Board of Accountancy. It is Friday, September 30th, and the time is 1:28 p.m. This meeting is being recorded and is accessible by Zoom. Just go ahead and take a quick roll call. Nancy Young Oliver, Board Chair.
Martin Pitioni, Board Executive Director.
Martin Pitioni, Executive Director of the Board.
And you have Board Legal Counsel.
Jeremiah Rutherford, Board Staff.
Lori Gordon, Licensing Staff.
Stuart Morris, Board Member.
Logan Steele, Board Member.
Haley Lyon, Board Member.
Jason Robinson, Board Treasurer.
Yes, hold on, Board Vice Chair.
Sherry McPherson, OSCPA Staff.
John Hawkins, OSCPA Board Member.
And online, we have...
Oh, Reggie Martin, Rich Martin.
I'm sorry.
Andrew Barlow, Guest.
And online, we have Amber.
Yes, Amber Daniels, HR Business Partner for Board of Accountancy.
Amanda.
Amanda Fells from the OAA.
Great, thank you everyone. All right. So is there a motion to initiate rulemaking to adopt a rule on a refund policy?
So
I'll second it.
Is there any further discussion by board members? All in favor state aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion has passed. Is there a motion to initiate rulemaking to change the renewal fee for the municipal license to $100?
So moved.
I'll second it.
Is there any further discussion by board staff? All in favor state aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion has passed. Thank you. Let's move on to consideration of settlement proposals. Case number 22-001.
Case 22-001, Brian Larson practicing with a wax license. Reached $1,000 in penalties, $1,000 in costs, state $500 in penalties, and the $1,000 in costs for a net due of $500.
So
I make a motion to accept the settlement as presented.
I'll second the motion.
Any further discussion? All in favor state aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is passed. Next case.
Investigation 22-002, Jeffrey Moore and Hanson Hunter and Company, employing a lapse licensee, $2,000 in penalties, $1,000 in costs, state $1,000 in penalties, and $1,000 in costs for a net due of $1,000. I make a motion to accept the settlement as presented.
I'll second the motion.
Any further discussion? All in favor state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is passed. Next case.
Investigation 22-003, Paul Peterson and Armadino LLP, not responding to board communications timely, $1,500 penalty, $1,000 in costs, stay $500 in penalties, and $1,000 in costs for a net due of $1,000. I make a motion to accept the settlement as presented.
I'll second the motion.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passed. Last case.
Investigation 22-004, Barbara Cena and Markham LLP, performing attest services while their firm registration was terminated. And this is a letter of censure. I make a motion to accept the settlement as presented.
I'll second the motion.
Any further discussion? All in favor state aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion has passed. Okay. Moving on, our next item. Martin, the review of public
school summary. Yep. And this was not in your handouts, and I do not have it ready, so I will need to give you two public board summaries next meeting, one for this meeting and one for the one on June 23rd. I'm sorry, I ran out of steam before getting ready for this meeting, so.
No problem.
All
right, the report of the OSCPA.
Okay. Got my phone here. Okay. On the Oregon Society of CPAs, we're getting into our CPE season here with October 15th deadline rapidly approaching, hopefully soon behind us. We are also working on our 23-24 curriculum for CPE classes. We are programming for many of our CPE classes continue to be in a hybrid mode where there's in-person attendees, some remote, and so there's a combination of both. That seems to be working well with many of our members, and it just seems to be working very well here recently. So we're folks that like to be live can be live, and those that don't want to travel don't have to travel. We have our professional issues update. It will be on Friday, December 3rd. And we want to say thank you to Martin and Chair Nancy for both of you agreeing to speak at that. It's greatly appreciated by our members to hear from you on professional issues of our profession. So I don't know if Sherry has something to add to that.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Great, thank you. And John, I just
want to
thank you for joining us today.
I
really appreciate it.
So could I actually bring up one OSCPA item, especially since we have a guest in the audience? My understanding is we are also appearing for, October 24 event.
Probably with Nicole tied to students or...
presenting our exam process type of a thing?
Yes.
It may be a remote thing. I have not checked.
I should have had that on my calendar. Oops.
But I couldn't resist bringing it up because it's one of the many ways in which we interact with OSCPAs. I'm really looking forward to it because we have a lot to discuss this time. And one of our guests here is blissfully unaware that he will be part of that conversation.
That's nice. So just to that point, what that is we've been working with, and sorry, I forgot that was coming up. We've been working with the board and AICPA for quite a long time with that. And it's a program that's designed to help new candidates get to licensure. And so they end up hearing about a variety of relevant topics tied to that. So, thank you.
Can I just also add that I appreciate the board's taking action on some of the reciprocity issues. We're embracing, I know within my firm, remote employees, which means that many of those employees now have to get an Oregon license, and being able to be assured that that will occur, within the 60 days required to have it happen is very nice. So, I just want to say thank you for addressing some of those issues this morning.
And I apologize that my phone was on Do Not Ring, and so
that's all right. Thank you. All right, let's move on to the report of the OAI.
Thank you so much, and I'm sorry I couldn't be there in person, but I do appreciate the opportunity to be here with you, so that's wonderful. So we are LAA, we're off to a great, our CPE season is off to a great start. We're seeing a lot of interest in it, it's kicking off well. We are also doing a lot of our things on a hybrid model, so where people have the option to attend either virtually or in person. And we are finding that there seems to still be a very strong preference for online, even when both are options. So we're kind of seeing that maybe as a continuing trend. So that's something that we're thinking about when we're planning our future events and things. Coming up here in the next couple of months, we do in October, November, December, we have a variety of different classes coming up from 1041 to IRS representation, Office and Data Security, on the Oregon Paid Leave Act, the retirement planning, and of course our 1040s that come into December. So we're excited for this to be in full swing. And yes, we also want to thank you for the work that you were doing today on the reciprocity issues. I know our membership also is impacted and has a lot of questions about those things. And so I think any movement in that direction, I think would be greatly appreciated and a benefit to everyone. So thank you so much.
Any questions from board members from either the OAIA or the OSCPA?
Okay, let's move on to new business. So speaking of the value of allowing folks to participate in CPE remotely, we have the NASPA 2022 annual meeting coming up, and Martin will be attending in person. And I've been in communication with them and asking those matters that require a vote if I can remote them. So I'll talk to you about that.
Okay.
Afterwards, if not, Martin may delegate authority to you for a voting number.
Okay.
Any questions on the annual meeting coming up? I know we asked folks if they could attend, and everyone is booked, and I totally get it. But hopefully, we can still, I'll participate the best I can via remote. Okay, CPA evolution exam exposure draft comments. Haley?
My kids would kill me if I would have missed Halloween for the NASPA. Yeah. I was like, Mark, Halloween. He was like, what? I took a look at the exposure draft for the new CPA exam. There was nothing in there that jumped out to me, something that would merit a comment by the board. It is in alignment with what the plan has been, and the content doesn't seem all that different, but it's definitely reorganized in a way that is interesting and makes some sense, I think, in the way of where the profession is going. So the comments were due today. So unless anybody else has a comment that we want to email in the next 3 hours.
Right, thank you. The next item that we had was guidance on discussion items from the work session. So we did those as we went through each of those items, so I'm not going to rehash those. But I do want to talk about the laws and rules committee, the membership, and talk about guidance. So in addition to the items that we talked about today, we had talked before and agreed that the laws and rules committee needs to be, you know, reconvened. And I know that Ray has volunteered or thrown his hat into the ring to be on the laws and rules committee, and feels that we have a number of items on there. And so, Martin, do you want to provide any comment here?
And I'll just be honest that I have not had a chance to really hunt down the volunteers for this committee. But what I want to do is get a little bit of a, you know, I have the overall kind of particular, the overall direction from Nancy that we need to get a good cross-section in there. Let's talk a little bit about what that means. Right. So for me, it's about, you know, making sure we have a balance of audit, tax, small firm, large firm, medium-sized firm. What are some of the other parameters that folks feel strongly about in terms of representation on the committee?
I think there could also be some room for consideration of industry focus. Mm-hmm. So you don't want just tax people,
yep,
or just government auditors, but you need a breadth of experience on that committee with different skill sets, different areas of expertise.
There is a statute that was recently passed that has some additional requirements that we have to consider, so I'll make sure you have that.
In terms of what we need to do before?
Who has to be on.
Really?
Yep.
Like any committee?
No, on the laws and rules committee.
Interesting. Did that happen while I was gone?
Yeah, it just came through this last session.
Oh, well, okay.
I'm looking for it, I can't find it.
There's a rule.
Yep.
Any other thoughts from as he's putting together the laws?
That's as much as it's going.
You have a lot of great members on the qualifications committee that will soon be out of job, thank you. So,
yeah,
I think there should be consideration to ask them if they would like to move over. They're very detail oriented, very professional people, so.
Thank you. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
Are there any particular individuals that stand out that you would like to see on there that I should approach? That you are saying, you know what, it would be really great if we can have blah blah from large firm, blah blah from medium firm, small firm. You can also tell me offline. You don't have to do it here in a meeting, right? But if something comes to mind, you know, because I'm essentially what I'm going to do is there is a, right now, I'll be honest, I'm pretty heavily reliant on Jeremiah's ability to pull information out of our file maker, and I do believe that there's a field where people indicate, and Lori's been great about sometimes when she sees a particular renewal coming through, hey, you know, this person, you know, checked X, right? So there are a few that actually volunteer as part of the renewal process. And I think that that is in our database, because I think there's a field in there somewhere.
It's on the renewal application. I don't know that there's actually a field in our software.
There's
is there?
Checkbox.
Yeah, there's a checkbox.
There's a checkbox that denotes committee interest, but not
specific.
So I will go back and just see what we can pull out of our database, just to give you a little bit of a starting. But I also, quite frankly, I think the last piece that I remember discussing with you, Nancy, was trying to also not get too unwieldy and kind of much beyond a committee of like 9 or 10 folks. So otherwise, it becomes really hard to manage.
Yes,
Jeff,
I can.
And then I volunteered council to attend. And one of our guests has volunteered an hour ago.
Great. Okay. So, moving on. The next item that we have on here that we haven't already discussed is preparation for our board and leadership elections in the December 15th, 2022 board meeting. And so between now and then, I would appreciate it if each of you would be thinking about the role that you want to play on the board, starting after our next December board meeting. I've been the board chairperson, and I'd be very happy to serve in this capacity, but it is time to go ahead and elect a new board chair. And so if you have someone in mind that you'd like to elect, I'd like you to go ahead and submit that to Martin in an email. Or if you yourself are interested in serving as either the chair, vice chair, or treasurer, please let Martin know so we can get some things together before our next board meeting. So. All right. Okay, on our old business, item 12, we've already addressed A. Correct me if I'm wrong, Martin, but we've already addressed A, so that brings us down to B. Approval of the minutes from January 2022. So, is there a motion to approve those minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
I'll second the motion.
Any discussion? Those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion is passed. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from the April 11th, 2022?
Make a motion to
I'll second the motion.
Any further discussion? Those in favor state aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion is carried. All right, the report of the chair. So in these last couple ones, Martin and I have been very busy. We've been meeting on a pretty regular basis. I appreciate Martin's flexibility in meeting with me up in Portland. And with everything that we've gone through today, I don't think you need me to relist out everything that we've been discussing and putting together so that we can talk here today. So beyond that, I don't have any additional information to share with you. Unless anyone has any questions, we'll move on to the report of the vice chair.
No formal report. Just wanted to express gratitude, Nancy, for all the hard work you put in, the past couple months, but also the past 2.5 years. So you're a well-deserved break, hopefully, soon. But I'm excited as well, just the direction we're taking. So just thank you to the other board members and then, Jeremiah and the rest of the staff. Thank you for all the hard work you've been putting in the past number of months.
All right, report of the treasurer.
So the small little snippet you guys got for what we're doing cash-wise works really well for any decisions we want to go forward with NAPA or how we've always done it in the past. Thank you, Martin, for leading the ship flow. But yeah, it's the only thing I want to just mention. In a downturn in the economy, the funds we have, cash available, we're ripe for a fund sweep. So we'll, Martin may be on board to fight for keeping our cash on hand this next budgetary season.
The one thing I would say is that, you know, as we look at our budget, we look at, you know, we have a moment where if we have a little bit more funding than what we've had in the past, is that if there are one-time only type of needs to be addressed by the board and, you know, board staff, that those one-time only needs now would be the time to address those. So, you know, no long-term commitments because we don't know what the future holds, right? But if there is legitimate business one-time only type of expenditures that we need to address, I'd like to see those brought forward.
So if I may real quick, so that's actually a really excellent topic. So we actually have one, and the board is aware of it because it's actually come up a number of times, including this morning. Right, and it's been kind of, it's a little bit like our sleeper, you know, evergreen issue of when are we going to do something about our database, right? So here's the irony, right? So that's going to be a little bit of a higher expenditure item if we really do need to change the platforms, right? We had a very logical point in time for us to do that a while ago, and that was actually right now, right? Because this is the one time every 2 years when we don't have firm renewals coming through, which gives us a little bit of a lull after renewal season to do this. However, with all the staff changes that are coming through, we essentially completely removed the option of us actually going through an IT change process, because you can't do it if you don't have staff here to actually manage the process, right? So just from a fiscal point of view, would have been a great point in time to do this now, but all the other indicators you need for a successful IT project were not in place. That doesn't mean that we don't have that opportunity at some point next fight. So that's probably the most, you know, kind of the most concrete item that's out there that at some point may hit us. You know, I don't know exactly what that looks like because I need my new team to dig into kind of what exactly, you know, our best options are there. I want to try to build a little bit on the work that was done by prior staff on that issue, and I also have a very initial meeting with DAS on that issue, I think in the next week or so. But beyond that, there is one other really important piece. This is not about a one-time expenditure, but it's about a recurring work that regulatory board directors have to do about the function of an ending balance in the budget system, right? So I have Jason in the room, so I'm going to say this as diplomatically as possible. DAS is, in essence, the way the state budget process works. It's by definition a process that was designed to be the same for all state agencies. It's basically a one-size-fits-all process, right? So every state agency, regardless of how large or how small you are, right, the core tenets of what the budget process looks like is exactly the same for, you know, an OHA or a small board like ours, right? One challenge that comes in that directly relates to this ending balance issue is, and I just had this exact same experience again for at least the sixth or seventh time in my career, right? DAS really does a fabulous job, including on the CFO side, trying to provide us with day-to-day services, right? But here I'm working with this wonderful individual that I think you've met, Dan Dunn. I don't know if you've actually met him, but Dan Dunn is the individual over at DAS that gives us our, you know, is basically our accountant and really keeps track of stuff. Wonderful partnership, great guy, you know. And so I'm on the phone with him. This actually just happened this week, right? And this issue came up, and he's asked about, and he's asking me about this, right? And predictably, what he comes back with is a cash flow perspective, right? Because that's what's trained into the system, that the sole function of an ending balance in state government is supposed to be the cash flow you through your needs until you get to the next biennium, right? And beyond that, we discourage ending balances, right? here's the fundamental truth for regulatory boards, right? Regulatory boards are in a different position than that. And you have to have this conversation. It's a really hard one because you have to have them with GAS, and sometimes you have to have them with LFO, I'm sorry, the Legislative Fiscal Office over on the legislative side, right? Because the simple truth of the matter is any regulatory board has a second function for their ending balance, and that is, that's your savings kitty if things get really rough on the compliance side, and if you need to ask for extra, if you have a really expensive case or caseload, that is the only place you can go beyond your cash flow needs to ask for expenditure authorization. This board was actually in that exact position. When we had a really big case, I actually had to go before the legislature on behalf of this board to ask for an increase in our expenditure authorization in order to cover an extremely litigious, expensive case that on its own had cost the board about $220,000, right? And that just blew our budget at the time, because that was one single case, right? It just blew our budget, right? Why could we do that? Because we have the ending balance. Now, when you go to NASBA and this conversation comes up, what's the example they use? They use the most extreme example, but it's still a valid one, right? Since you're all CPAs, all of you are familiar with, you know, Enron, right? What happened with Enron, right? It triggered a whole bunch of regulatory follow-up. What did it mean for the Texas Board of Accountancy, right? It literally meant $80 million of costs for the Texas Board of Accountancy to deal with the outcome of Enron, right? Now I get it, that's a completely outsized, huge outlier, extreme example. But it illustrates the point. So here I was on the phone, this was just this week, this is not theoretic, right? And it was a great conversation with Texas. Oh, they never told us that there's this other issue out there with respect to how we might have to look at the ending balance of boards. And I get it. That's what happens when you have a system that is designed for all agencies to work the same and you set the core rules, which are legitimately about cash flow. But the simple truth is, from a public protection standpoint, there is that second function out there. And potentially we might have to fight that battle, right? And getting that voice out there and saying, it isn't just, you know, money to grab. This is about our own safety that we can say, even if really bad, you know, stuff happens, we have the fiscal credibility and the resources to follow through. So I just, you know, don't want to get, go preaching too much, but that's, it's one of the challenges of the job, is to kind of get that message out there, because you're always swimming against the stream. And I hope I said this diplomatically enough without, you know, upsetting you too much there, Jason, but it's a tough line to walk.
So, Mark, why don't you go ahead and move into the report, the executive report?
Well, it's actually a great transition. I actually feel like I want to step back from the three items that are there, because I think that really the most important thing I need to start out with is what's happened here in bits and pieces over time today already. And for me, I really just need to, first of all, start off with a thank you to the staff, right? They have given far This was an unbelievably difficult place for us to be in, to literally have no staff left on the licensing side right at the beginning of renewal season. That's exactly where we were at on June 1. And we had Lori joining us, I believe, if I remember, on the 13th of June. If I remember correctly,
yes.
Right, we had Joel, who we then basically pulled back over from the compliance side, but he was leaving us on August 12th, right? But he was basically rededicated to us, but he then went away, right? And we really only had beyond that, Mella as a new temp trying to figure out how to help us, and then there was Jeremiah, right? And I'm really glad he was called out today. Because there's no way, you know, everybody here did yeoman's work, but there's no way I would have gotten through it with all the work that Jeremiah did. Because he and I effectively split the licensing management duties, right, into different buckets, right? And he's done other stuff too that he's going to love handing off, like our payables and other things, you know, far outside this job description, just to help us keep the doors open. So I think I would be remiss if I don't just start with that piece, because it is, you know, it's I get to do the really fun stuff with helping us through these big discussions on how we reorient. But in order to get here, we first needed to survive, right? And that really, really, I'm just hugely grateful for that. I also want to say that I'm super grateful to Sherry and the partnership here, because here's the other piece, right? Mela, I don't know if she's still online here. I was actually just going to look, right? So, you know, Mela was always kind of like the first shield of, you know, the incoming calls and the folks that were not so happy or that didn't initially understand how difficult it was and what we were actually trying to do with almost no staff, trying to move our process through, right? But there's another element, and I think it also needs to be acknowledged, right? I knew from my earlier time in the profession that traditionally, it's kind of built into the DNA of this profession, right? That a whole bunch of folks will not come to the board directly to talk to us, right? Who do they talk to? They talk to Sherry. They talk to our CPA, right? Which means that there is this really great thing that can then happen, because I can check in with Sherry, and I know that Sherry picked up not just really difficult conversations from the last 5 years, but I knew that it was likely that as we were going through this implosion of lack of capacity, right, that there were certain things that would land on her desk in terms of questions and concerns, right? So I just also want to acknowledge that there was a huge partnership where we were in touch with each other in terms of, hey, I'm going to get this up on the website. Can you get this out to, you know, can you get a message out to the membership? You know, and it's just kind of coordinating. How do we get through this, right? And that, I think, also needs to be acknowledged, right? Because it wasn't just, you know, that I had staff that did yeoman's work, but I also had help, right? I had help from OSCPA. I don't know if, you know, Amber's still listening, but you know, I had amazing help from Daz HR kind of getting through all this stuff. And I mean, just in the background, stuff you don't see, right? But their recruitment stuff is so behind it, right? And the fact that the stuff that I needed to do, that essentially no question asked, that I was able to get to the front of the line because they literally saw and understood that our agency was literally at the point of not being able to operate anymore, and they opened the doors of what is normally a very, very cumbersome process, and not only did they do some processing for me, they basically let me get ahead of the line, right? And agencies that would have taken a month to get their recruitment posted would probably wonder why it was that the Board of Accountancy had a turnaround time of less than 24 hours, right? So just want to kind of highlight that. That's the environment that we're in, and that is, quite frankly, to me, just a huge testament for, you know, we do have a pretty great and awesome thing in our environment, right? And so, you know, within all that, you know, although I think it was probably a little bit more mixed for you, Angie, right? There was this, oh, the board is talking to me, kind of piece, but it was also kind of like, you know, I had to ask for much more help from council, so I just feel blessed on that front. Speaking of staff, so let's jump now to 16C, right? The other piece is we now have, you know, just want to put it really clear on the record, you know, Mela is now joining us on a permanent basis. That status change is effective tomorrow, October 1. We have Chihiro joining us. Actually, I don't know if HR told you, but you're officially starting today as opposed to, we had that conversation late yesterday. Mm-hmm. So we were going to do it Monday. I said, hey, she's already coming to the training. Let's just shift it to today. So welcome. Super excited to have you. And then Andrew is coming to join us on the 12th of October to fill in, you know, essentially our lead licensing role, which is a huge partnership that I need in terms of the laws and rules committee process forward that we discussed today. A lot of these process things that we discussed today, figuring out how do we change this and adapt that, that's all, you know, a lot of that I'm going to need help with in terms of the process and the execution, right? That is going to be a lot of what Andrew will be helping me with. And I'm really, really happy for that partnership. That helps me kind of lead into the licensing update. So Jeremiah, one of his many, you know, blessed capabilities is that he keeps track of things extremely well. And so I asked him yesterday to send me, he's been, you know, really awesome kind of keeping us on an almost daily basis, kind of has this updated little chart of where we're at, you know, in our renewal process. So as of yesterday, just to give you some specific numbers, we have officially processed 3,400, this is as of yesterday afternoon, 4:15, really precise. We processed 3,431 renewals, which gets us to about roughly 80% of the load that we're at. So we still have 20%. So I think that's about one percentage number in one of my emails earlier. That was a percentage that was specific to active level licensees. This is the overall picture for everybody. So that includes retirees, inactives, and all the other stuff. So this is related to the whole load of renewals, regardless of licensure type. So not super happy that we're in that place that we're straggling, but I think it's a logical outcome of essentially the Mission Impossible that we were in. I will say we've gotten, as much as we have folks that were initially not terribly gracious, we've gotten a surprising amount of lack of feedback. I would have, quite frankly, at this point, I would have expected a far greater degree of, you know, folks being upset, but really, actually, I feel kind of enveloped in grace, because overall, you know, we didn't get a massive amount of backlash in terms of, you know, doing things differently, both in terms of, yes, it's taking us a lot longer, but I think folks also picked up on something else, and I think Sherry also knows this kind of from her own calls that she's getting, or lack thereof, is that please don't underestimate the impact of what happened, of how we did our licensing. A part of this was forced, right? If you look at how we normally do our licensing process, right? It would require us to say, okay, this e-renewal comes in and there is a deficiency. We would then have to send out a deficiency letter, wait for that deficiency letter to reach this person by mail. That person would then have to respond to the deficiency letter, which we then have to open and process and see if that deficiency corrected. We did not have the resources to go through that kind of a process. It was way too easy. It's like, we're going to pick up the phone, call this person, say, hey, could you resend your renewal? Here it is attached to this email, or, right? Could you just give us the signature, right? Just give us the signature. Let's help you get over the line, right? Because a surprising amount of folks, you know, they love the online stuff, but they misunderstand it, and they think that if they hit click the right that they don't need to sign the renewal. Well, in fact, you do need to sign the renewal, right? And we can't process it without the signature, because that's what we rely on in terms of saying that your information is true, right? But we don't have to go through the whole process of sending out a formal letter, and you have to get this back to us and all that. Pick up the phone and says, can you do this, right? And so I think folks actually really appreciated us being a lot more nimble, right? It was both better service and a lot less clunky and a lot less steps for us, and it helped us kind of stay a little bit afloat in all of this. So that's probably the other thing that I want to highlight, is that it's a little bit like the COVID experience that all of us went through, right? It forced a whole bunch of process changes for folks, and, you know, some were more prepared than others. For us, we were basically forced, for non-COVID reasons, into doing our renewal process differently. And I'm hoping that in many ways, the lesson for us will be the same, that we don't necessarily go back to the way we've done renewal processes before, but that we learn from it, and actually that it becomes an opportunity saying, I think we can keep some of these nimble things around because people actually really like, you know, working with the board this way. So that's the other piece, you know, that's kind of underneath. It's not about policy issues, but it's also a little bit about how the board is perceived in terms of day-to-day interactions of what it's like to work with us, right? And that's one of my other, you know, quite frankly, goals that I have. And I have a phenomenal staff that gets it, right? That we're not about unnecessary hurdles. Let's just fix it. Let's find a way to get there. Right, and that also feels, quite frankly, really good to actually talk about.
Martin, I know it's your report, but could I chime in on one of those calls?
Sure.
Since you're talking about them?
Yeah.
So, just so you know, I do have, you know, I know a lot of members, long time, of a phone rings, and Martin had given me an update, and I was communicating with licensees members. And the phone rings, and this particular CPA, so Sherry, I mean, I could tell they were upset. And they said, you know, I only call you when I'm angry, not when things are going good, sorry. And they couldn't figure out why they got a communication. And Martin had told me that there were a small number of folks, I think 200, give or take, that had issues. And so a communication gone out to them. So I immediately called Martin. Martin immediately called the licensee. The licensee had not signed their application, so their renewal. And so what had happened was then I checked back later. Oh, I got a call right away. And I mean, I give kudos to this because, you know, that also means you don't have somebody complaining to their colleagues and other folks in Princeton. You have this whole flurry of folks that are upset over something. And really, at the end of the day, the licensee had forgotten to sign the application. Now, that could have set and gone all the way through past the 60 days and been much more problematic. But those were the types of things that we were seeing. I know that Jeremiah and Martin were very, very busy. But when we reached out, we'd get an immediate connect back. You guys were immediately connecting, and it did solve a lot of issues, like, as you say, like, so I know it's not my place to say a report right now, but it's nice for you to hear that.
No, I appreciate, but I do want to just say the way you just described it, right? I could not have been that responsive, because I mean, half of that stuff, I would go to Lori or to Mella and say, hey, can you fix this? This person's on the phone, so that I can get back to them. And, you know, I don't do it in a vacuum, right? It takes everybody. Or Jeremiah in some cases, you know, depending on what case it was, right? And I don't think that I should probably put on the record that in the midst of all this, Jeremiah also handled all the more complex, like, firm issues, right? All the firm stuff has been sitting on Jeremiah's end that's been kind of quietly plodding along because we can't, you know, stop doing business, right? And speaking of not stopping doing business, the other piece that's really important as part of a licensing update is, you know, we've talked a lot about the challenges of going through renewal season. And yes, it was a challenge. But one of the other things that I'm super proud of is when I walked in May, we were behind. And we already had so much turnover at that point that we were already behind with respect to exam applicant processing and initial processing, right? And that was already 2 weeks before essentially getting to a zero point in from a renewal standpoint. Right. So one of the things that I'm actually proud of is that we actually worked through our backlog of initial processing, of initial licensing and exam applicants. So I can actually sit here today and say, we don't have that backlog. We worked really hard, notwithstanding, and I know that we paid a price. It's one of the reasons why we're not fully done with the renewal process, is because I could not ethically say that we're just going to do renewals and we're not going to worry about our exam applicants and our initial licensure applicants, right? We have that ongoing responsibility. So we are not sitting with a backlog of months and months and months of exam applicants or licensure applicants. In fact, we're actually relatively caught up. I don't know.
2 days
if you
behind.
Anything, if you can tell me a little bit more specifically where we're at.
I haven't pulled for 2 days, but everything that I pulled prior to those 2 days has been addressed, either in process or completed.
Yeah, so we're pretty current on that piece. So let's not forget about that, you know, in addition to that piece. And other than that, you have the agency request submission. That's really just my report to you that something really important got done. But please do not forget my very important asterisk from earlier today, which is the reason that didn't come to the full board is because there were no policy requests in that package. We really would have had to be blessed by the board. So that is a process that I worked through with leadership, saying, are you okay with me getting it in? Because it really has to be, at this point, a status quo budget that doesn't reflect yet what wherever this board is going. And then once we actually make, if there are any changes that we make to us, whether it's personnel side and so on, I will bring this back to the board, whether it becomes a formal budget request or not. The board will be in the loop regarding what happens going forward.
Okay. Thank you, Martin. Okay, the Complaints Committee, or the BOLAC summary, will be at our December 15th meeting, as Tanya decided to get some much deserved fame. So, brings us to the Qualifications Committee. Jason?
Nothing out of the ordinary. Just their usual professional selves.
Great, thank you. That brings us to item 19, the ratification request. So, is there a motion on the CPA certificates and permits?
I make a motion to accept the CPA certificates as presented.
I accept. I approve. I second.
Got it. There we go.
My name's Biden.
Yeah.
Just say so seconded.
Second.
So seconded. Okay. All in favor, state aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion is passed. Firm registrations?
I make a motion to accept firm registrations as presented.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor, state aye.
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 Those opposed? All right, motion is passed. It's getting late. Okay, industry certificates and permits.
I make a motion to accept all the industry certifications and permits as presented.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is passed. Admission to the municipal roster.
I make a motion to accept the administration to the municipal roster as presented.
Second it.
All in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion has passed. Just a final announcements before we adjourn here. There's a couple items that we talked about today that need your help. So between now and the next time we meet. And in addition, let us know about board appointments. It'll be probably one of the later items on the December board meeting, but we're thinking about that and getting the request into Martin. So with that, I will call to a conclusion the board meeting today. It is 2:15, and this is December 15th, and it will be at the Salem board office in person. Thank you. And Sherry, thank you again for the accommodations today. This was wonderful.
Thank you. I'll be sure to mention Natana. And Lori, thank you for working.